Let's pray. Father, we come to the preaching of thy word. We pray that thou will give us help tonight and power in the gospel, we pray. Lord, help us to make much of Christ, to exalt the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, one word that is vital. You'll find the verses that I want to draw your attention to in three parts of the New Testament. First of all, in the portion of Scripture that we have read from this evening in the 13th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then in the third chapter of John and verse 3 of chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then again in the 15th chapter of John and the verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. The word is accept. Accept. One word that is vital. See, it's Spurgeon, the great preacher, in his lectures to my students, tells of a young probationer who once preached a most ingenious trial sermon before a country congregation. He preached on the word but. Quoting the well-known verse, Naaman was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And he went on to preach a sermon about the short conjunction, but. At the close, an old deacon came up to him and said, "Well, sir, you've given us a singular sermon, but you're not the man for this place." That can be seen very clearly. At the risk of repeating that young man's unfortunate mistake, I'm going to take a text with just one word tonight. The word is not but accept. On the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, this word has tremendous meaning and tremendous importance. And I want to consider it tonight in the context where it is cited in these three sentences before us. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That is the accept of repentance. And then in John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is the accept of regeneration. And then in John 15, except ye abide is the accept of relationship. In these words tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ sets before us the issues of life and of death and bids us in all seriousness to choose between them. It's not a matter that can be shelved. It's not a matter that can be shirked. It is a challenge calling for decision tonight. It is a challenge to your heart in this meeting. It is inescapable. The alternatives confront us. There is no evading them. We must make up our minds tonight before we leave this service, one way or another. Accept Jesus Christ on these three momentous occasions. And on each, that small conjunction conveys a most impressive warning. How we need to listen to the warning of Scripture. how we need to listen to this warning or these warnings tonight. May the Holy Spirit of God, as we deliver the Word of God this evening, write the Word upon your heart. First of all, then, in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, the accept of repentance. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. These words were first used, as revealed here, in relation to an accident which had occurred not long before near the Tower of Siloam, in which 18 people had lost their lives. The context shows that. It is possible, however, to discover in Christ's language a reference to something darker, to something even more dreadful than natural death, even in its most heinous and repulsive form. There is a plain and unmistakable allusion here to spiritual death. The death not of the body, but of the soul. The Bible says here, repent. And the term has a harsh sound in the modern ear of man today in this world. People don't like it and would gladly cut it out of their religious vocabulary altogether if they could. And some have, sadly, today in the religious world. But here it stands, in the vocabulary of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word repent. How it humbles man's pride. How it rebukes man's self-complacency. How it pointedly tells man there is something radically wrong with his life. Is God saying to you tonight, through the Holy Spirit in this meeting, that there is something radically wrong with your life? How insistently it summons man to repudiate his own unrighteousnesses and to submit himself to that righteousness which is of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But now, assuming man's reluctance to obey, his stubborn unwillingness to comply with the divine command, what is the alternative? If he does not repent, what will happen? The master leaves him in no doubt. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Essentially, it is repent or perish. Repent or be ruined. Who can assess the terrible meaning, the appalling implications of that dreadful word when thus spoken with infinite pathos by our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ? Persist in your sin, and you will perish. And perish is an awful term. And the very fact that Jesus makes no attempt to define it only heightens its mystery and deepens the horror with which it inspires us. What can it mean? Note to begin with, it is an accurate description of what actually takes place in the soul and body of the person who persists without Christ and who dies in their sin, who rejects the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The soul of the person who rejects Christ and who dies in that state will perish. That's what the Bible teaches. There is an inevitable process of deterioration and degeneration that sets in, even in the life of the person who postpones repentance. They're in the process of perishing. His moral consciousness becomes dull. His moral energies impaired. His moral fiber undermined. This moral degeneracy brings, as it goes on, physical decline. The jangled nerves, the trembling hand, the palsied limb. Such are the sins, consequences here and now. To sin, quite literally, my friend, is to perish. If you continue on that way, the end of sin is death, the Bible says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But there is more to it than that. For if you read your New Testament aright, the word perish has a connotation far exceeding in gravity and awfulness than that which we have just assigned to it. It is a curious paradox that the book which more than any other extols and exhibits the love of God should also speak of God's severity, of the sure doom of those who die unrepentant, who die in their sin. My friend, if you continue in your sin and you die in your sin, you will perish forever as a consequence of your sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I cannot see how anyone with the Word of God in their hand can consciously reject the gospel of Christ, knowing that at the end they will perish and be lost in a Christless and undone eternity. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But then secondly tonight, there is the accept of regeneration. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I want you to notice particularly tonight the word cannot. The word cannot. It's a strong word. It's a weightier word than will not or must not. It points not so much to prohibition as to downright impossibility. You see, if you're not born again, it is impossible for you to enter into the kingdom of God. The thing just cannot be. Apart from the new birth, entrance into the kingdom of God, that kingdom which someone has rightly defined as the kingdom of right relationships, simply cannot be obtained at all. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God without the new birth. Let me ask you tonight, have you been born again? Have you been born again? There's a delightful passage in Grace Abounding, Bunyan's Grace Abounding, which relates to the author's first becoming acquainted with this great question of regeneration. And Bunyan writes, upon a day, the good providence of God called me to Bedford to work at my calling. And one of the streets of the town, I came where there were three or four poor women, and they were sitting there at their doors in the sunshine, talking about the things of God. But they were far above my reach, said Bunyan. Their talk was about the new birth. Now it is to be noted that the new birth is not just in point of time, but in point of quality. It is not simply a matter of putting the moral cloak back, It is not returning to babyhood and starting afresh. That is impossible in any case. A wise old expositor declared 100 such births would effect no improvement on the first. Since that which is born of the flesh is flesh, it can never do anything else. This new birth, my friend, is a birth from above. It is being born of God, born spiritually. We've been born naturally into this world. That's the physical birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But we need to be born spiritually, being born again. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Have you been born again tonight? Christmas Evans describes the homecoming of the restored man there in Mark chapter 5, the delivered man who was delivered from the legion of demons. He describes a street in a tiny eastern town, a group of happy children playing in the street. A scene of idyllic peace and beauty. And then all at once a figure appears in the distance. It hastily approaches, catching sight of the figure. The children stop their play and they run towards a nearby door. "Mother," they cry out. "Mother, Father's coming home. What shall we do?" "Come in," cries the woman. And she barricades the door, and the children cling to her skirt. With bated breath, they await the arrival of their father. Nearer, nearer he comes, and he knocks on the door, and he says, "Let me in. Let me in. I'm home. Can't you hear me? It's me. I've come back to you again. I'm not the man I used to be, because I've met the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm different now. Jesus has changed my life. Open the door and you will see." And little by little, they open the door just a little bit and notice the change. And then they open it a little bit more and they notice more of the change. And here's a panic-stricken family. And bit by bit they move the furniture away from the door that had been barricaded. "Yes, it's Father. He's different. He's transformed. He's met the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a new man, all because of Jesus." And I want to tell you tonight, friend, in this meeting, if you're not saved, thank God you can be a new person before you leave this church tonight. You can become a new man, a new woman, a new young person, changed by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they open the door and let him in. What an embrace he gives to those children and to that wife. The best that the world could do for Legion was to chain him. But Jesus could do more. Jesus could change him, and he did. He changed him. Human society could restrain the evil in his nature, and indeed found it necessary to do so for their protection and for their preservation. But Jesus could go further. Jesus could remove the evil and turn him into a new person, and he can do the same for you tonight. You've come into this church tonight bound by sin. You've come into this church tonight held captive by the devil and his will. But thank God you can go out of this church tonight a new person, a new creature in Christ, changed by the power of the gospel. That's the gospel I believe in tonight. And that's the gospel that will change your life, make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can be born again tonight. If any man be in Christ, we're thinking this morning about that, weren't we? He's a new creature. All things pass away, and all things can become new. As Christ solemnly cautions you tonight, you cannot live a satisfying life. You cannot live a satisfactory life until you are born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is the accept of regeneration. But then there's something more tonight. In John chapter 15, if you turn to it, in the verse 4, we read those words just a little earlier tonight. The 15th chapter of John and verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. The accept a relationship. The Christian life is the Christ life. A relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ tonight? It is the life of God and the soul of man. That's the relationship. And such a life can only be maintained by constant vital contact with Christ. Are you in constant vital contact with the Lord Jesus Christ? It is impossible to live his life without him. The alternative to that is moral failure, spiritual fruitlessness. You know, my friend, evangelical Christianity has often been charged with stressing too strongly the first step in Christian experience and not sufficiently emphasizing the subsequent stages. And there may be some point in that criticism. But whether or not it serves as a pertinent reminder that the grace of conversion must always be followed and demonstrated by the grace of continuance. The grace of continuance. Conversion may take place in a flash, in a moment of time, but it should not be a flash in the pan. There must be a patient perseverance in well-doing, a persistence toward perfection, toward that time when we're glorified and we're with Christ and we're like Christ. The true evidence of salvation is not statistical but practical. It is not to be found on a church register, nor even on a decision card. It is to be found in present, vital Christian living. What about your vital, present Christian living? Are you presently living for Christ? Are you presently walking with Christ? Are you presently serving Christ? It's a great question. Very, very important tonight for you to address and for me to address. Well, you may be able to produce the birth certificate of a corpse, but that's no indication of the presence of life. It is a proof that life was once there, but it is sad, the sad memorial rather than the certain guarantee. The really important thing is not simply to have what is called a testimony about Jesus, but to be in living touch with Jesus. Are you in living touch with Christ tonight? Like John, who leaned upon the Savior's breast and felt the heartbeat of the Son of God, are you feeling the heartbeat of Christ day and daily? Are you feeling the throbbings within of a mortal life pulsing within you now at this very moment? You're living in constant contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. Abiding in Christ. And that's what the Lord is speaking about here. He's saying, except ye abide in the vine. He's saying, except ye abide in me. Are you abiding in Christ tonight? Are you living where you ought to be living in constant contact with him? In conclusion tonight, let me ask you a series of very important personal questions. First, I would remind you that Jesus said repentance is necessary. And without it, you will perish. Have you repented of your sin tonight? Or if you haven't repented, are you prepared to take the consequences? Which of course is everlasting wrath and the judgment of a sin-hating God. Secondly, Jesus said regeneration is necessary, and that if there can be no admission, without it there can be no admission into the kingdom of God. Have you been born again tonight? Have you faced the fact that if you're not born again, if you're not ever born again, you'll never enter into God's kingdom? There are people who have the notion that they're just going to turn up at the gates of heaven and they're going to get admission at the end because God's so merciful and gracious. But I want to tell you, friend, you'll not even get to the gates of heaven. Because at the judgment throne of God, you'll be told, if you're not saved, depart from me. I never knew you. Relationship in Christ and with Christ is the essential condition of continuing Christian fruitfulness. Are you in living contact with Christ tonight? If you're not, my friend, did you realize that the only consequences, or the only alternatives rather, are moral bankruptcy and spiritual barrenness? And in all of this that we have said tonight, the one word that is vital is this: except. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except a man or a woman or a young person be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. How is it with you tonight? How do you stand in relation to these most vital matters? I earnestly pray tonight, and if you're not saved, you will come now and trust the Savior. Let us pray. Father, thy word has been declared, and we pray that tonight there will be those who will come and trust in Jesus Christ and be saved. That ere this meeting concludes tonight, there will be a yielding to the claims of Christ as he's offered freely in the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.